At the end of today's gospel, Jesus gives a principle that's very valuable for us, valuable for understanding how he communicates with us and how we get the benefit of that communication. The principle is that without parables, he doesn't speak to us, but he does explain everything in private to his disciples. God is speaking in parables all the time. He's communicating himself all the time in some simple and yet also mysterious symbolic way. And most of that communication, we just don't get it. We don't understand it. We don't even notice it. But he explains the meaning of it privately to those who draw near to him and spend a little time pondering what he's saying and what he's doing. You could say that this setting here in the liturgy is the time when he explains things to his disciples in private. Let's reflect a little bit on this gospel. Actually, there's two parts to the gospel. The first part about the mystery of the seed growing by itself, and the second part where Jesus introduces the mustard seed. The mustard seed is a great image, and we've reflected on it at other times. I'd like to set that aside and focus on the first part of this gospel, where Jesus says that the kingdom of God is something like a farmer who scatters seed and then goes to bed, and the seed grows by itself. What is he saying here? Well, you think about this on the most natural level. Everybody knows, once you get to about age 3 or age 5, everyone knows that when you plant a seed, that seed is what comes up as a plant. In that sense, it's not that mysterious. Plant rice grows. Plant a mango seed, you get a mango tree. It's so basic that we don't really think much of it. But what Jesus is referring to here is the process that gets the plant from the seed level to the harvest level. How does it happen? I'm sure we know it happens. It happens all the time. But what exactly is going on there? Well, even if we don't know, even if we don't understand the biology or the mystery of cell reproduction or plant growth, we can know that it happens. And very much of the process is mysterious to us. We don't get out our microscope every time we plant a seed. We don't examine the stages. We just know that that's how it works. And that's enough to know. Now, he says a farmer, well, he says a man here, but we assume he's a farmer. He scatters seed on the ground, and he sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows, he knows not how. Well, if this man doesn't know how it works, and he does this all the time, he makes his living by planting and harvesting, if he doesn't know how it is, well, then who does? But it doesn't matter, because the seed has a dynamic of its own. Even if we don't know how it works, it still bears fruit. It's a good thing to reflect on. It's a good thing to appreciate. We don't have to understand everything about how everything works. We can trust that seeds will bear fruit. And we can trust that the kingdom of God, which is like a seed, will bear fruit, even if we don't understand how it happens. There's a certain childlike trust involved in the planting of seeds. Because once it's in the ground, it's out of our hands, it's out of our control. And we have to accept that. We're not in charge of everything. And we can be at peace with it. That's just how it is. Like a child. Okay, now Jesus takes this very simple, basic, natural phenomenon and he applies it to the kingdom of God. We can do the same. We can apply this to lots of levels beyond the natural level of the seeds themselves. We can apply it to Jesus himself. Jesus is a seed. He comes as a seed. He is planted in the ground. He's killed. He's buried. How does he rise again? Well, no one can explain that one. How did his dead body come back to life in a glorified state? Not even the greatest theologians have a hard time describing what's a glorified body. Well, it's something like a plant that comes up from a seed. The plant doesn't look anything like the seed, but it's still the same plant. St. Paul has a whole chapter in one of his letters to the Corinthians about how the risen body is the fruit of the natural body, but it's glorified. Well, that's Jesus. He himself is the kingdom of God, made present, made visible to us. And we don't know how the kingdom grows. We can trust that it does grow. I'm not being negative about it. I'm just taking this parable and saying, well, even the parts that we don't understand, we can trust are still fruitful. We can also apply this dynamic of mysterious growth to our own lives, including to the experience of suffering. When we're suffering, it seems that it doesn't make any sense and it can't bear any good fruit. But that's only because we don't understand the process. I bring this up because this is what the letter to the Hebrews mentions in today's first reading. It says here, remember the days past. Now, we think about when we think of the good old days. He's not talking about good old days. He's talking about a terrible phase of life, a terrible experience that was in the past. Remember the days past when, after you had been enlightened, after you had been converted and baptized, you endured a great contest of suffering. So remember how bad it was, is really what he's saying. Remember how bad that experience was. Don't forget that you passed through terrible suffering. At times you were publicly exposed to abuse and affliction. Anybody who suffered abuse or affliction can identify with what he's saying. You can remember it. You don't want to, necessarily. A lot of people try to blot out the terrible experiences of the past, but he says, no, remember this. At other times, you associated with those who were so treated. You witnessed the abuse that others had to suffer. You even joined in the sufferings of those in prison. You joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property, knowing that you had better and lasting possession. Now, what he's saying here is, remember how bad that was. Why? Because you can see it as a seed planted. And I'm applying the gospel to this. You can see it as a seed planted, and you can see that even though it was terrible then, it has borne good fruit. First of all, you survived. You passed through it. You're still here. Suffering did not defeat you. Suffering did not, and this is even more important, suffering did not defeat God. God was with you then in that time of darkness and affliction, and he's with you now. So the conclusion here is, therefore, remember the past, therefore do not throw away your confidence. If you survived that terrible experience, and if God was not defeated by that contradiction, well then, you should have confidence in the future too. Don't throw away your confidence. It will have great recompense. You need endurance to do the will of God. You need endurance to let the seed pass through its stages until it finally bears fruit. So don't give up when the seed is still in the ground. Don't give up in the bad times. Don't give up when the plant is only this big and you don't see any possibility of it bearing fruit. Be patient. trust that the process will bear fruit in time, in God's time. What do you do in the meantime? Get a good night's rest. Go to sleep, wake up in the morning, and continue. This is what the man does in the gospel. Yeah? He goes to sleep and he rises night and day, and the seed goes through its process in a sense by itself. Now, it's not completely by itself because he waters it, he tills the ground, maybe fertilizes it, and all the things you do to make plants grow. But we don't really make plants grow. We just assist in the process, and then we go to bed. We wake up in the morning and we water the plant again. Then we go to bed again. Get up in the morning, water it again, go to bed again. And see, we're part of the process, but we're not that big a part. God is the big part, and he makes plants grow. So applying this to the experience of suffering, don't give up in a dark day or in a dark phase of your life. Don't throw away your confidence. This is the journey of faith. The journey of faith, or the journey of life in the kingdom, is like a seed planted, buried, then it sprouts slowly, usually more slowly than we want. we're eager to see fruit, but it doesn't happen like that. First there's a sprout, then there's a blade, then there's an ear, then there's the grain. Can't change it. Now that's all in God's timing. Now, a lot of times we don't even notice the sprout. We don't even notice the blade or the ear. Sometimes we're so blind to the process that we see fruit all of a sudden. That's because the process is so mysterious. A lot of it happened when we were asleep. Spiritually, we were asleep. The letter to the Hebrews tells us, you need endurance to do the will of God and receive what he has promised. For after just a brief moment, he who is to come shall come. He shall not delay. God is not delaying. That's always our complaint. Why doesn't God do something about this problem? Why doesn't he heal this person? Why doesn't he take care of the world? Why doesn't he end the pandemic? What's he waiting for? It's been a year already. What's he waiting for? Well, he's not delaying. This is the process of a seed going through its normal stage. We don't know how it works. We still don't really know how this virus is transmitted. But we know more about it than we did before, and people are developing vaccines and whatnot. And okay, let's not give up. Let's not throw away our confidence, because in a short time, he who is to come shall come. My just one shall live by faith. Don't draw back. Don't give up. This is the whole point. Don't draw back and perish. Be among those who have faith and will possess life. Those who persevere are those who see the seed come to its full fruition and who bear much fruit. God wants us to bear much fruit. So whatever we're passing through now, or passed through before, or will pass through, God's intention is always much fruit. So let's participate and rejoice in the fruitfulness of God's love at work in us.